February 13, 2020 assembly meeting. You want to do a roll call, Tina?
Me. Here. Brenda?
Brenda's running a little late here.
Briskin and myself.
Thank you. Colby.
The Staley, I'm here in Anchorage also. I don't know if anyone's on in Colby. We'll give them a minute, maybe.
Okay. Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck. We have myself, Annie Bailey. We have Ernie Weiss, Samantha McNeely, Mary Teshi, Carol Foster, Daly Shack, Lenora Dushkin, and Laura Tanis.
Okay. Thank you. Sampling. So we have Tina, myself, Justin, Paul, Denise, Emil, and Sandpoint City Administrator, Jordan. Okay. At this time, do we have any public comments on the any of the agenda items? Okay, hearing none. Minutes, we need a motion and a second to approve January 9th, 2020 Assembly Meeting.
Minutes? Make motion to approve January 9th, 2020 Assembly Meeting Minutes. It's Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
Second.
Second by Denise. Anybody have any corrections, additions, or changes to the minute? Hearing none. Unless there's objections, the minutes will stand as written. Okay, we need a motion and a second to put the financial report up.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. And we need a second.
Okay. This
is
Brenda
Second.
And Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you use the December 2019 financials, there was a question at the work session in regards to the raw fish tax and where we are compared to prior years. So during the break, I did go back and look, and just for your reference, in December 2018, we had brought in about $2,028,000. In December 2017, it was $2.5 million, and in December 2016, it was about $2.1 million. So we are about relatively, if you average that, we're about status quo with the prior years. Other than that, the one highlight is in our Fund 22, which is the helicopter expenditures in Department 845. We are halfway through the year, according to these financials, and we've only expended 34% of the helicopter budget, which is good, which means that we won't have to do such a large transfer over from the general fund at the end of the year. So that's great. Staff, everyone's been very cognizant of spending in this and trying to keep our costs down. If there's any questions, please let me know.
Questions for Annie? Paul?
Thanks for the additional info on our fish taxes. However, because our winter fisheries are kind of just getting started, I think it's probably a good idea to kind of update, keeping an eye on that every meeting and kind of giving a quick report like you did, because crab revenues are down, pollock and cod revenues are down. And that, of course, just started January. And so far, so good. But I think we have to keep an eye on it as well. But thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Yes. Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. The December investment report is there for your information. So at this time, anybody have any questions on the investment report? Okay. Hearing none. excuse me. on to the consent agenda. Resolution 20-47 was moved. So first resolution. We need a motion.
And a second.
The consent agenda.
Is there a second?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Annie. Okay, Mayor, back in the assembly. I'll go through these one by one. If you have any questions, please let me know. First one's resolution 2448 relating to the disposal of surplus, obsolete, or unneeded supplies. Every time we're going to surplus something, we do bring it before the assembly. And on this one, we would like to dispose of some keyboards, desk monitors, computer modems, printers, and laptops that are located here in the Anchorage office. They're surplus, no longer needed. So with your permission, we would auction those off after this meeting. Any questions on that one? Okay, the next one's Resolution 2049, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dow to provide project management services for deferred maintenance at the King Cove School in an amount not to exceed $70,000. As you know, the King Cove School is owned and maintained by the borough, and over the past few years, we've been trying to keep up with the deferred maintenance of all our facilities. In 2018, the borough did hire Dow and their subconsultants to assist in conducting an on-site condition assessment of the school. It was determined that the school was generally well-maintained. However, there were a few code violations and critical items that did need to be addressed. These include architectural, electrical, mechanical, and control work needs. So the borough has asked Dow and their consultants to submit a scope of service and fee proposal provide project management services for the King Cove School improvements this year. Last year's we've done Sandpoint, Accutan, we've done some work in False Pass as well. So this year it would be for King Cove, and their services would be in an amount not to exceed $69,135,000. We may be able to negotiate that down a little bit if the borough staff takes on some of the responsibilities. Administration does recommend increasing the not-to-exceed amount to $70,000 just in case there's scope creep and contingencies that might occur. And funds are available in the project contingency line item, and there's a little bit of money available in the King Cove School Maintenance Reserve Fund, which is in account 41. With that, if there's any questions.
Hey, Annie, this is Chris in King Cove. I don't have questions on that resolution, but is there a reason why we didn't do anything with Resolution 2047?
That was moved to the resolution line item in number 8, so we'll discuss it then.
Okay, we didn't hear that over here in King Cove. Okay.
Okay, so we'll skip 2050 because that will be discussed later on in the meeting. So the next, I'm sorry, did I mess that up? Yeah. 2050 got moved over, right?
Yes. Yeah. Hey. Okay. Well, we're basically done with the
consent. We have one more. Resolution 2052. So this is authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dell to perform a reconnaissance site visit and erosion assessment of the conditions at Delta Creek in an amount not to exceed $18,000. At the last assembly meeting in January, there was discussion of Delta Creek and the potential damage that it could cause to the road. So to be proactive, the borough has worked with the city of King Cove and Joe Calvert in particular on figuring out where the damage may or may not occur, and we decided to see if we, per your permission, could hire Dow to go out and do a reconnaissance site visit and erosion assessment at Delta Creek to give us ideas of how to be proactive to prevent damage in the future. So they came back with a time and materials budget of $18,000. And with your approval, we'll enter into a contract to have them go out there as soon as the weather allows.
Okay.
So that's it
So the consent agenda consists of 2048, 2049, and 2052. So everybody's clear? So with that, you want to call the... Question on a motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. On to resolutions. So we'll start with 2047. Assembly approving the projects and initiatives identified on the Borough Strategic Plan. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, Assembly, before you is Resolution 2047, approving the projects and initiatives for the Borough Strategic Plan. In December 2019, we held a planning work session to help identify projects and initiatives that would be included in the Borough Strategic Plan. We had the communities, outside stakeholders, and members of the public in attendance who assisted in the conversation about the Borough's role in community projects. The results of those conversations is in the draft here in your packet for the strategic planning cycle of March 1st, 2020 to February 28th, 2021. So Mayor Osterbach, staff, and the PGS consultants did meet after the meeting to define the bubbles here, our initiatives and tasks throughout that provides project leads, quarterly project outcomes, and year-end targets. This ensures accountability for us and transparency throughout the next year of our project activities. We did add one item between the administration and the National Resources Department to track A.3, Board of Fisheries, to the plan. The three-year goal is to protect and strengthen our existing fisheries, and the one-year goal is to have Board of Fisheries strategies in place. This is intended to be a living document, and we'll come back to you through our quarterly reports and a six-month review. So if there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay, thank you. So Paul had requested this one be pulled. Paul?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the opportunity to comment. I just wanted to comment on the record that this, while the results are fine, it's a procedure that I'm kind of not very happy with. It just appears that we're hiring somebody to tell our staff how to do their job. I don't think that's necessary. Our staff is very highly qualified, and I think it would be better if our staff generated this approach in-house, because I have a lot of confidence on them, and they know the region better, and it seems like we spin our wheels quite a bit developing this, and a lot of people give their input, but I think there might be a better way to accomplish the same or similar results. That's all. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Before any other comments, I need to redo the motion and the second on this one. So, somebody want to make a motion?
I make a motion, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. And a second?
Brenda, second.
Thank you, Brenda. So do we have any other comments on this? And thank you, Paul, for your comments. And actually, that is, I know, something that's been talked about with the staff as far as how far down this road to go before we try and do it ourselves. Annie, you had anything you wanted to add to that?
I really enjoy having professional growth systems, and I appreciate the compliment, Paul, that we're capable of doing this ourselves. But I think having professional growth systems, or anyone for that matter, to help facilitate the conversation, make us think outside the box a little bit, is extremely valuable, because they put us through some exercises that are outside what the Assembly sees, that makes us see, like, the internal improvements that maybe we're missing, or where the root of the source of the problem is. And it's a process that assists us in doing our job better. So yes, we are capable, but I think having PGS assist has been a great asset to this process, making it as functional and as successful as it has been.
Okay. This is Chris here. I got a comment.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, no, I agree with what Annie said, and, you know, the whole thing behind this was, I know Mayor Osterbach was the one that kind of wanted to get this started when he was on the assembly, that wanted the borough to be more transparent, and I think with working with this organization, we get these flow charts, and so not only does the borough get to see it, but anybody else, I'm sure, could see it too, and so it gives us a better understanding as to those goals and how those goals are going to be met. I understand that our office staff in Anchorage could probably do this, but the software and everything that they have to put up these charts makes it a whole lot easier to understand how we're going to achieve those goals.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Other comments? Okay. Well, I guess I'll make one last comment is I really enjoy going through this process, and I think it really helps keep everyone on, not just the staff, but I think the assembly also on track. You know, this is something that everybody has on their computers. It's on my wall in my office. It's on the wall in the Anchorage office, and people can take a look at it and see what we decided on, where we're going, and how we're doing as far as getting there. And I think it helps immensely. So, anyway, you want to call a question on the motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Sophie?
Yes.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Yes.
Duskin? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 20-50, Assembly supporting Western Gulf of Alaska Fishermen's Request for Disaster Assistance in the 2020 Western Gulf of Alaska Pacific Cod Federal Fishery. I need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor.
Ms. Brenda, make a motion to bring it on the floor.
Warren, second it.
Thank you, Brenda. Warren, thank you. Mr. Mayor, I would move to amend.
Okay.
Move to amend to add the words and communities after fisheries. As already recommended or suggested.
Okay.
I think it's the word. Is there any still there? Is it and communities or just communities?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, yes. In the fourth whereas, I was recommending you add the words after Western Gulf of Alaska fishermen and communities.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't hear Carol completely when she was commenting on it, but I think,
okay.
I'd be interested to hear her comments again. I'll turn the volume up a little bit.
Okay, so we have a motion to add the wording and communities in the fourth whereas. Wait a second.
Second.
By Denise. Okay, with that, were there any other changes needed to be to the resolution? If not, I believe, Ernie, this was turned over to you for discussion.
Sure, Mr. Mayor. So Resolution 2050 urges the governor to request the Secretary of Commerce to make a determination of a fishery disaster for the Gulf of Alaska pecod fishery. Everybody knows that it has been closed for this year. and probably next year. And fishermen came to us asking that we address it. We've had some success in requesting and getting monies approved for fishery disaster relief. In the memo for the resolution is a link to a report on how this works. In that report it says if you have losses greater than 80%, there will be a determination. I've also drafted a letter that would go along with this resolution if it were adopted to be sent to the governor, and it includes some financial information which we would need to prepare and deliver. So, thank you for the amendment. That was the change in my recommendation.
Okay. With that explanation, then, we need to go ahead and vote on the amendment.
Carol?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise? Yes. Brenda?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Justin? Yes. Samantha?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
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 Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. So before us, we have the amended motion discussion on it.
Question on the main motion. Brenda?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Denise? Yes. Bailey?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 20-51, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Eco Services, Inc. for the Nelson Lagoon Dock Project in an amount not to exceed $1,110,000 and to appropriate $300,000 from the boroughs, Alaska Municipal League, investment pool portfolio to complete the project. So we need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda, so moved.
This is Chris, I second it.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck. In this resolution, it does authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with HECO Services for the repairs for the Nelson Lagoon Dock in an amount not to exceed $1,110,000. And to appropriate $300,000 from the borough's Alaska Municipal League investment pool portfolio to complete the project. The Village of Nelson Lagoon does rely heavily on their dock facility for commercial fishing needs. It does consist of a modest pile-supported dock that was constructed in 1995 and some additions that were made in 2003. You know, it was reported that there was the items needed to be fixed. So the borough did hire Moffitt and Nickel in 2016 to conduct a condition assessment of the dock, and then they further did a corrosion evaluation and underwater inspection of the facility. Moffitt and Nickel determined that the dock is in overall fair to poor condition with areas that require immediate attention. The scope of work that they developed was for MOB, DMOB, replacing timber fender piles, steel fender piles, steel whaler and fender units to repair damaged bearing piles, dock impact damage, and to furnish install custodic protection systems, as well as replace safety ladders and furnish and install life rings, fire extinguishers, and cabinets. In 2019, the borough entered into contract with Moffitt Nickel to provide project management, administration, quality control services, design phase services, environmental permitting, bid phase services, and service the borough's representative throughout the design construction and construction phase portion of the project. So in December 2019, the borough went out to bid for this project and also issued three addendums. There was a pre-bid meeting, which was held on January 7th, 2020, via teleconference. And on January 29th, the borough conducted the bid opening and only received one bid for the project from HECO Services, Inc. The borough and Moffitt-Nichols a proposal and determined that HECO was a responsive bidder with a bid offer of $1,090,000. Moffitt-Nichols' recommendation is to award is attached for your reference. Borough administration requests the Assembly authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute the contract with HECO in an amount not to exceed $1,090,000. I take that back, in the amount of $1,110,000 to take into consideration any contingencies that might occur, as well as to pay, make sure we have enough. Anyway, I'm going to back up. I apologize. But to do the work that they proposed, and then also, just so you know, this work will have to be done between May 1st and July 31st, 2020, due to the permitting constraints on in-water work due to stellar eiders and other animals in the area. So the borough does currently have $873,000 available for this project in our Fund 20, and in order to complete the project, an additional $300,000 is needed to cover the $1,090,000 with HECO and to pay the remaining fees due to Moffitt and Nichol. And if there's any minor contingencies, to cover that as well. Funds for this $300,000 are available in the borough's Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool, which is also known as the AMLIP portfolio, to cover the remaining balance needed for this project. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know.
Questions?
Paul? Just to clarify the dates, the completion date of the actual structural work will be what date again, Annie?
July 31st, 2020 is when they have to be out of the water, so all the work has to be completed by then.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Hearing none. Questions on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, Tom.
Rick?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Justin? Yes. Tom?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everyone. This would be a good project to get up and off the books. Okay, we have no old business before us or new business. We're down to reports and updates. Annie, you want to lead this one off?
Sure. Assembly, Mayor Osbrecht, Assembly, in the packet is my report. The first part was the Nelson Lagoon dock, which we just discussed. Thank you for approving that. That'll be an exciting project to get done this year. A few other things. Coal Bay Terminal, the subleases on January 23rd, the state of Alaska did provide the borough with the consent for Raven and Grant Aviation to sublease the facility. All the tenant improvements the borough is responsible for have been completed, and the airlines are now in the process of completing theirs, getting the insurance that's required for them, and then hopefully they'll move in soon. And I wish I had a date for that, but I was unable to get a hold of anybody at Raven to pinpoint a date prior to this meeting. We still are working with our airport consultant on finalizing the permit agreement for the itinerant air carriers to access the facility as well, and once this is done, this will be presented to the Assembly for review. I did list in here our legislative priorities. Part of our current strategic plan was to define the borough's state and federal legislative agenda. So in here are some, and please note this is not all-inclusive and this is subject to change throughout the year, but many of our state priorities are similar to what they were last year, but the implementation of a broad-based tax, which is something the Assembly has approved two resolutions in support of, doing an income tax in particular, school bond debt reimbursement and harbor bond debt reimbursement. I spoke to Mark Hickey this morning, and the legislature has put language back in for both the school bond debt to recoup the 50% that was cut last year, and also put in the harbor bond debt reimbursement, which would pay us back for the Accutane and False Pass harbors. So we'll keep a close eye on that. The governor still can veto it, but the legislature is making an effort to put that back in, which would bring about $600,000 in revenue back to the borough. Of course, we've got King Cove, Cold Bay Road, Cold Bay Dock funding, the False Pass Airport, which while we were in Juneau, we did meet with the OT and brought this up, so we'll be working with the city and others of interest on that. Fisheries advocacy, limited salmon entry permit, that was a lot of our discussion down there, and Mayor Osterbach can go into that in more detail. Board of Fish, shared fish business tax program, which is extremely important to the borough because that's a large amount of our revenue, so we're keeping an eye on that. Currently, it's not in any legislation that it will be cut, but we're still, you know, keeping an eye on it to make sure that that doesn't happen. Alaska Marine Highway System, airline service, and the Aleutians. Laura has completed her white paper, which we're going over now, and then we'll be setting up a meeting with the airlines soon to go talk to them about the poor service that we're getting in the area. Of course, the Cold Bay building removal request, which we've requested from the state for 2 years now, and they are still giving us lip service on that, but it is an important thing, so we'll be working on that, trying to get that building removed, which is next to the clinic and blowing parts and pieces all over the runway, which is extremely dangerous. And then there's the other ones on here as well. Federal priorities is King Cove, Cold Bay Road, fishery and ocean items, which include items that Bill and Ernie are working on. Tilt is always something we're keeping an eye on. EAS, Essential Air Service, the Coon Dock and Breakwater, Sandpoint and Accutane Harbor floats, which we're trying to get funding for through MARAD, through the Port and Infrastructure Grant Program. And then the Wordabelle, which would impact the False Pass Harbor litigation project. So those are most of our state and federal priorities. Like I said, these are subject to change throughout the year. If you have any comments or anything else that we should add to this list, please let me know, and we can do that. But this is just a guideline for Mayor Osterbach and others to follow on what's important for our borough. A few other things, and I'll let Laura go into more detail about AMHS, the Alaska Marine Highway System. There was a document that just came out, or an article that just came out about additional funding that was added. But Mark Hickey did state yesterday that, although this isn't 100% concrete, that the ferry that all the efforts people have made expressing their concerns and comments has brought some success to our area, and the plan is to provide a total of 5 trips spread over early to mid-May until September, which would have one in August, which could accommodate teachers moving and stuff like that. So it's a small win from the 4 to the 5. It's not concrete, but it is something we're looking at, and then Laura will go in more detail when she gets her report on a few additional things she's discussed with Shirley Marquardt, with Swampsea, and others. So I have began the FY21 budget cycle. Today, all the staff have received their budgets to provide comments. We're starting a little early. It takes a long time, but we should have that ready for you guys in May. And other than that, I'm available for any questions that you have.
Questions for Annie? Before Mary starts, then, I think just on the limited entry permit work that we did down there, Annie and Mary and I were down last week. Talked to numerous legislators, talked to the chair of the Fisheries Committee. I met with Jerry McCune, who's also the lobbyist for the hatchery folks down around the Cordova area, and he works for the Cordova fishermen. He'd been the lobbyist for United Fishermen of Alaska for the past 20 years, so I talked with him. Basically, we went through all the different legislative offices and explained to them what we were doing and why, and at this point, we were also looking for sponsors for the bill. We don't have any on paper yet, but we think we have both a Senate side and a House side sponsor for the limited entry bill. Mark Hickey feels that, you know, if we get it into bill form before a couple of committees, it probably won't go anywhere this session. So it would be something that would be finalized one way or the other, I think, in the next legislative session. So it is moving forward, as everything does in Juneau. It takes time to get there, but it looked fairly good. It was well received, most of the folks that we talked to. So with that, Mary.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. My report is in your packet for your review. First, I have a strategic plan update on a few of my projects. So first, False Pass Harbor House. As you know, the borough is involved in the design phase of the False Pass Harbor House. The city of False Pass contracted with LCG Land Tech to complete the design. So LCG made a site visit to False Pass the week of January 20th. And following that site visit, they have completed a concept design of the facility, which we distributed to the city and borough administration for comments this past week. So after we receive comments, LCG will move on to the 35% design phase and continue with the portion of the project. So excited to see that move forward. Next is the Sandpoint School Grant. We had a grant application kickoff meeting with Dowell and ECI this week. Emil was involved as well as folks from the school district. So it was a good meeting. We're just getting kind of organized and putting tasks with everyone so we can get the application submitted. And we're thinking by May, before school lets out, we'll be able to submit that application or at least have most documents completed by then. So that's really good. It's an aggressive schedule, but I think we'll be able to meet that. So that's good. And then last but not least, we have Cold Bay Clinic, which I'm really excited about. We are making a lot of progress on this project. So on January 22nd, we entered into a contract with LCG to provide project management services for the project, which is part of the strategic plan, and you'll see that on our plan this year. So we held a coordination meeting on the 29th of January, and LCG is starting to draft the DOT building permit documents as well as the construction bid documents, which are both items that are identified on this year's plan and next year's plan. So once submitted, it's expected that the DOT permitting process will take about 4 weeks. So not totally sure when that's going to be submitted, but once it is submitted, it'll take about a month, hopefully not longer than a month. And, of course, because we have to do the building permit because it's on DOT land, so just one of the things we have to check off. In addition to that, the MOU between the borough, the city, and EAT was executed on February 6th, which, as you know, is something we've been working towards the last couple of months, so I'm really excited about that. Of course, this MOU identifies each party's responsibilities with respect to construction, the rest of the project, and this is on the borough's plan. So really excited that MOU has finally been executed. And then something else that we've been working on with the city, so we did a lease supplement, which is an amendment with DOT, extending the project completion deadline, and the state received that on February 4th. We're still waiting to hear back from them about the approval of that, but this is something that was required for the city to stay in compliance with the terms of the lease. So a lot of updates on that project in the last couple of weeks, which is great. Any questions on projects so far?
Well, I just had two quick ones, Mary. The first one was, when are you going to bid, you think, if you had a guess? When's it going to bid?
We are hoping, let's see, I'm trying to remember the meeting. We are hoping to have a construction contract in front of the assembly by April. So that means possibly going to bid in March. But it really depends on when we can get the DOT permit. So they're working on the permit documents now. It's all kind of in limbo at this point, but we're really hoping that we could go to bid sometime in March. That's the hope.
Thanks. And then the MOU with all the parties in the city, Heat, and Borough, is there a copy? Have we seen that yet? Or can we get a copy, I guess?
Sure. Thanks, Paul. So you have seen a copy of when it was approved by the Assembly for us to negotiate and execute, but if you'd like, I can have Tina send out a copy of the executed MOU.
I don't know if it's any different than what we were talking about at all. I don't expect it to be, but thank you.
So any other questions before I move on? Okay, so just a couple other announcements. As the mayor mentioned, we went to Juneau, so I won't go into that. I did want to say that I'm super happy about the Marine Highway System changing their schedule, hopefully. I did testify on behalf of the borough on February 4th for the schedule, so it sounds like they listened to a lot of the testimony and have chose to add the fifth trip, so that's really great. And then just wanted to make a mention that Laura and I were supposed to go to King Cove for the opioid summit, but unfortunately because of that storm that came through, we weren't able to get out. So they are tentatively scheduling that for May. So just wanted to let everyone know that that's kind of the new schedule if you'd like to participate. Other than that, I'll take questions if anyone has any. Thanks.
Any questions for Mary? If not, thank you, Mary. Thanks, Mary. Laura?
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach, members of the Assembly. My report is in your packet for your review. Some things that I wanted to add since then this morning, I called Swansea just to follow up on my registration for the conference and got into a conversation with Shirley Marquardt and about the draft ferry schedule, and she really wanted to get the word out that it's very important for folks in our region to email their comments to Nils Andreessen, if I'm pronouncing that right. Andreessen, thank you. And herself, she asked that anyone who sends these comments, please CC it to her about how their proposed draft schedule, the abbreviated ferry schedule, will affect folks in the region. And she especially wants to hear from municipalities that bring in contractors for projects, fishermen, business owners, grocery store owners, lodge owners, educators, schools, basically anyone that is bringing in goods and services, vehicles. She said the email should include why the ferry service is important to you and your community, why you need it, and what kind of harm could be caused by not having regular ferry service. And she said she doesn't think that we should settle for what's currently being offered. She said that she and Nils are currently collecting comments to present to the legislature, and she said individual names will not be included, but the comments and how the lack of ferry service will affect communities will. She said this is really important for the legislature to understand the specifics about how it would affect our region, and she said that this is something that will get their attention. So I just wanted to mention that, and if it would be helpful, I can put out a brief notice on In the Loop, Fish News, and also put on AEB's Facebook page. Otherwise, I'm happy to provide those email addresses. And just another thing, just a little while before the meeting, we received a release from the House majority. It talked about how lawmakers have voted to give the Alaska Marine Highway System a lifeline, adding $18.7 million to get the ferries up and running again. My understanding is that's pretty much what it is at this point. So I, of course, still needs to go further and head to the House Finance Committee for consideration and so forth. So just wanted to mention that. Tina should have that in her email. She can forward to those who would like to have it. Other than that, as Annie mentioned, I completed the report on flights that Raven does to and from the communities, which also includes information about number of processing workers who fly in and out of the borough, commercial recreational guides and hunters in the region, as well as Eastern Aleutian tribes. They gave some estimated numbers of people who miss medical appointments and have to reschedule due to cancellations by Raven Air. Also, I'm working on a white paper right now on the False Pass Airport, so I'm sort of digging into research about that, past environmental assessments from 2008, also some information from 2004 that False Pass Mayor Nikki Hoblett provided regarding the master plan from that time period. So I appreciate all the information she's provided thus far, and I'm sure I will be contacting her more about that. I'm also monitoring news articles that appear in the media that have to do with our region, fisheries in general, as I'm sure that our Department of Natural Resources is as well. Other than that, in our last In the Loop, which was distributed on January 24th, one of the stories was about how GCI is seeking letters of support from commercial fishermen and community letters, leaders, rather, regarding its AU, or Lucian's Fiber Optic Network. And this is something that GCI intends to submit along with its grant to the USDA, which is their called the RUS Rural Utility Service Reconnect Program. So we also distribute some of the documents in Fish News as well for those who are interested in filling out those forms. Their grant is due March 16th, and also on February 7th, as many people probably are aware in the region, they held a tele-town meeting online just to go over those same details and answer questions about the project. Other than that, I, in the last In the Loop, also included information for those who were unable to attend the December strategic meeting. It includes information from the presentations of Mayor Osterbach as well as Annie Bailey. And if you have any further questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you.
Laura, this is Chris.
Yes, Chris.
So, on the GCI letters of support, that doesn't have to be just from commercial fishermen. That could be also from some of the other departments in some of the cities. I know, like public safety, we rely heavily on the internet, the clinic, and schools, and we could all write letters of support that way too.
Absolutely, that's my understanding. The more, the better.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Laura? Okay. Thank you, Laura. Ernie.
Thank you, Mayor. So last week, the International Pacific Halibut Commission met here in Anchorage. Mostly listened on the web. I did show up down there. You'll notice in my report a chart of some past years of what they call the TCEY, or the total constant exploitation yield, and that's the reference, and then other things come out of that. They also have a fishery constant exploitation yield. Anyway, Area 3B, our area on the South Peninsula, was the only area that went up this year. Last year, we were the only U.S. area that went down, and so they might have made up for that, but they said that the survey was the reason for that addition. So that was good news. I'm interested always when they talk about the closed area, which goes right off of our northern shores from Point Stroganoff to Cape Sarachev. They were talking about just getting rid of it because trawlers can go in there, but the crabbers are talking about sanctuaries, so that might, it's ineffectual. They don't allow directed halibut fishing, but trawlers take halibut as bycatch there, so it's of interest, but they didn't really make any movement on that. The week before that, I was in Seattle at the North Pacific Council meeting. My last AP member of the AP meeting in Seattle, I will be losing my position on the AP. I'll be termed out in December. Council may, or the Assembly may want to consider making recommendations on a new AP member after December. We at the last meeting, the Assembly directed the mayor to write a letter. That letter was submitted. Paul and I testified on behalf of keeping those sideboards on the Central Gulf Rockfish Program. We were not successful. They took those away, but our local fishermen have never fished in that fishery and hopefully never will with the salmon coming. So it's fished in July, so I think that's probably why that was unsuccessful. But for the rest of the year, they'll be talking about Bering Sea Aleutian Island cod, and that will be our chance to stand up for any sideboards that needed to be in any new rationalized fisheries. So that's probably the rest of the year, talking about Bering Sea Aleutian Island cod. Alaska Board of Fisheries is going on this week, the Upper Cook Inlet meeting. In January was the Kodiak meeting that was kind of concerning. There were some changes made, and so we're paying attention to the Board of Fish closely. Next month there will be a meeting on king and tanner crab and other supplemental issues. That's as probably as far as I'll go talking about that. I have some updates on the borough land surveys. Things are in motion. We have some unfinished business on the Sandy River and Bear Lake, but those things are moving along. I talk about some of the comments that I submitted, including the one on the Alaska Marine Highway System. I'm also on the MTAB, and I've been reviewing the new reshaping report for the next MTAB meeting, which has not been scheduled yet. I talk about meetings I've been to. I did not mention the possible South Penn PCOD preseason meeting for the state fishery. It'll probably be a teleconference on February 27th or 28th. Trying to nail that down. And that's it for my report, but I have Charlotte's report in front of me, and she flew to Kodiak today, so with your permission, Mayor, I would just mention a couple things off her report.
Yeah, go ahead, Ernie.
Sure. So the three things she's got on federal groundfish, she had been working on the PCOD tagging study that has been pushed off. I mean, working with Alaska Fishery Science Center, you have to kind of deal on their timeline and budget, and that's been pushed for another year, which is unfortunate if we're trying to get better information for opening the PCOD, but it is what it is. Also, she's working on the EM. There's also a EM workshop in Seattle that, because Charlotte wouldn't go, also on that EM, EFP is Beth Stewart's name, and so Beth went on behalf of PFC and us to that workshop in Seattle these last couple days. And then Mariculture, of course, I mentioned she went to Kodiak, and it's to talk about kelp, which, of course, is her passion. And she's got some information there on kelp. And that's all I've got for her. I'll take any questions on anything.
Okay. Question for Ernie, Paul?
Just a comment on, I did see on Charlotte's report, she talked about sonar surveys, and NIMS, I think, mentioned Seattle at that. They decided that's not going to work at all. So you might make sure you mention to Charlotte that that's kind of off the table, is my understanding. But maybe I got it wrong. Thank you.
Other comments or questions to Ernie?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Ben.
This is Tom in Falls Pass. Mr. Mayor, may I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Ernie, you said your term was up on the AP. Was Angel confirmed to that AP seat then?
So Angel's been on for 3 years, I guess. So I stepped aside as chair. I was chair for 4 years. Before that, I was vice chair for 2 years. But I term out after 9 years on the AP in December. So I've been kind of trying to convince Angel, because I love being the chair, but I kind of like to share the fun and empower other people. And so she did step up, and she's going to be real good. So Angel of Apicta is now the chair of the AP, and I get to sit on the sidelines and advocate more strongly for the borough, I guess. You're supposed to be impartial when you're the chair, so it's probably a good thing. So after December, I will be off the AP, and the assembly or the borough will pay for any trips that are required to go to council meetings for me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Okay. And thank you, Ernie. I know chairing it is a lot of work and herding cats, but I'm sure everybody in the borough appreciates the time you've spent on there and the work you've done for us. So
I was an elementary school teacher for a long time, so it was just like, you know, driving a bike.
Okay. With that, Emil.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor and assembly members. my report's up there, in fact, as well. I was over Cold Bay 2 weeks in January here, finishing up with the final punch list over there, put the ticket counters in and the conveyor belt and put all the seats together over there. There's 40 of them. And then there, it looks looks really good, waiting for them to move in and their final tallies and what they're going to be needing more from us, but probably not much. So everything's pretty much ready to go turnkey over there. And the pool fan here in Sandpoint is working, but it needs to get cleaned out a little bit better, which I'm in on that. And just been up at the school a little bit more here in the last week because we had a job open up there for the maintenance. So I've been helping out with whatever little bit that I can with the two that are in there right now for temporary. And just been staying busy and working along with the Cold Bay Terminal and up here in Sandpoint. Going to be planning a trip, trying to get out to Actan so I can see what's going on out there, and over in King Cove would be nice to get over there and see just these places to see how they did in the wintertime and keep up on all of that. And my OSHA requirement compliance, my strategic plan update, just got all my stuff together now with that. Got the last bubble. I'm actually making the written plans out for each individual site for here and King Cove and the Anchorage office. I won't be attending Swampsea this year. I'll be out there for the week doing training, going for hazardous material training. To get better acquainted with hazardous materials. So I'll be out there doing that. And as Mary said, we were working on that grant program for Sandpoint School, trying to get all the paperwork in for that so that we can try to get a decent score and maybe get some money, you know, for a grant so that we can get the renovation going there for the Sandpoint School. And then going through the report that we got from Dow for King Cove School, and going through that and getting that ready for this summer with Dow when we get over there and do some work there and get everything up to, you know, keep it up so that we don't have to have such a high price tag on it and letting it down so much. And then just my summer list, working on summer list. Gonna be busy, what it looks like. So, anybody have any questions?
Questions for Emil? If not, thank you, Emil. So that's all our reports. Before we go to assembly comments, I've had a couple of questions about a story that came out about Peter Pan. I talked to someone at Peter Pan. They said the story that came out was by someone's source. They do not have any comments on it, and that to them it should be business as usual. And that's all I know about that. So with that, do we have any assembly comments? You'll get a chance again until next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In keeping with your rule about two comments per agenda item, I have two comments. The first one is Swampsea, which is be there or be square. I guess the draft agenda is online. However, they have been updating it pretty much a daily basis. So if you want to see what's on the Swampsea agenda, you can look online, and it may have changed. There were still some speaker openings, and they were adjusting some things, but I think it'll be a pretty good meeting talking about the ferry and Raven and internet, those three items in particular, I think are very worthwhile. And the second item I wanted to mention is because Peter Pan Seafood, like our other seafood companies, is an important part of our economy and tax base and jobs for fishermen. I think it's still a good idea to maybe invite them. Maybe they wouldn't accept an invitation to talk to us and publicly state what may or may not be happening, which is out of our hands for now, of course, but I still think it's it reads some additional information today. So I think politely inviting them would be a good idea. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. And like I said, the day I came in, I did talk to them, and they said at this time they have no comments. So maybe in a month or by our next meeting or something, they may want to make comments or something, but currently they do not. So for now, I think we'll leave it at that. Any other assembly have comments?
This is Daly.
I got a comment here. Mayor Osterbach. Chris.
Chris, wait a minute. Daly?
Oh, you heard me. Chris is a little louder than I am. No, I'm just kidding. couple things. Yeah, I think that would, Paul was saying, be a good idea to, you know, to invite Peter Pan. You know, it's just show them that it's very important to us. You know, their companies are very, important to all of us in the region. So I just think it'd be a good idea. And for Colbe, would like to thank everybody for all their work, hard work, and everything on the new terminal. I'm especially excited because I'll be working in there, and I won't be in that old building I worked in for 18 years, freezing and whatever else I might have from it. But anyway, just wanted to thank everyone for that, and also the clinic. Very excited about the clinic. I'm very excited, and I'm telling you what, I was bending a few years telling them, let's move this along. We want this clinic. So, and then also we're working on the old school building. Hopefully we're doing, you know, trying to figure some stuff out, and we hope we could work something out with that. And then I guess I went over my two things.
No, you can pick some. Not a rule.
And the DOT building. When Angela and I met this morning, and she said when she was in Juneau, last big storm we had, you know, it blew some more of that building apart all over the place. So maybe they'll, you know, finally hear us and do something about it. So she met right with the lady, the commissioner of DOT. So anyway, that's all I had.
Okay. Thank you for that. And hopefully we will see you soon in the new terminal. It's been 15 years.
Yeah, 15 for that. And I worked in that old building for 18. So, yeah, I'm due for a new building.
Okay. Chris?
Violating the rule, don't say terminal to old people.
Chris? Thank you, Mayor Osterbach. I would just like to say that it would be nice, maybe one of our next meetings, to have it in Cold Bay so that we could actually see that terminal as a borough assembly. And, yeah, that's just an idea I had.
Annie, you want to answer that?
Yes. So I was hoping to do the meeting in March in Cold Bay, but I don't know if that's going to be possible due to some... Anyway, but yes, we are trying to get you guys out there. It might be later in the season. I do not know when the airlines is going to be operational at the terminal, and that's when I'd like us to be there. So we are working on that, Chris, and we will make sure we have a meeting out there soon.
Let me know, and we'll come up with a lunch or something.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to do a grand opening for the terminal. So.
But it probably won't be March, the rate we're going. We want people in there before we go over. Any others, Chris? Anyone else?
Yes. Well, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Mayor? Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to, on behalf of the City of Falls Pass, I wanted to thank staff and the Assembly for their support. Thank you very much.
That's appreciated. Okay. If there's no other Assembly comments, are there any public comments at this time? Oh, Jordan.
Yeah. Just the city of San Juan, we had some pretty discussion with Raven. Obviously, in San Juan, we're working there lately. Just with their body service, I know it impacts residents here. So,
can he speak up?
Okay. Yeah, so this is Jordan with the City of Sandpoint. I would just like to say that the city would like to be at the table with, on any discussions with Raven. The city's suffered from some pretty terrible service lately, and it's impacted people both financially and otherwise. So we're very interested in moving forward on this.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Any other public? Hearing none, next meeting date would be second Thursday in March, which would be the 12th. With that...
Oh, where was it going to be, Mr. Mayor?
We don't know because we're not sure when they're going to open the terminal. Annie, did you have an alternative on what you were talking about?
I don't
know. We talked about it somewhat, but...
We'll work it out in the next week, and then we'll let everybody know.
Of course, as everyone knows in Sandpoint, when you leave or come, you stop at the terminal either way. So that one is a pretty good opportunity to see the terminal if it ever gets up, as well as, of course, people in King Cove and all the other communities, too. So. I'm not saying it's not important, but it's just to see the terminal seems a little... not as exciting as maybe I could hope it would be. That's all. Thanks.
Well, actually, you know, Annie would really like to do a grand opening. I mean, this thing's been 15 years.
It's been 15 years.
So now that it's actually up to doing what it's supposed to be doing.
That's a Geico commercial there, 15 minutes or less, you know.
Yeah, that's for this. So anyway, you know, and we thought about even having, because I think at some point some issues that we have will probably have to go into executive session, but trying to move everybody this time of the year with the type of air service we have right now is just about damn impossible. I mean, it's crazy. We need to have some discussions with Raven soon and see if they, you know, I've had staff in Anchorage working on putting information together on, during Laura's report you heard, the amount of people, the type of people, the businesses, the clinics, everything that moves in and out of the area to try and hopefully give Raven an idea of really what they're looking at as far as times of the year and amount of people move. Because to me, it doesn't seem like they understand the amount of traffic they have out here. They don't add extra flights, it doesn't seem, when needed, and that type of thing. So anyway, we've put together kind of a white paper on it that Laura has worked quite some time on here, and it's taken a pretty good effort to get this information from the different players for whatever reasons, but I think we finally got it all together. I think she kind of finished it up when we were on the Juneau trip, so I haven't had a chance to sit down and talk with the staff on it yet as to how we're going to proceed from here, but we finally got it all together, so
hopefully that's going to help. If not, at least we'll know why we don't get airplanes. But so it's kind of hard right now to figure out meetings in the communities when we can't get people around, and we just seem to have one storm after another for the last 6 weeks or so, and more coming. So, but we actually do want more meetings out here. Even Andy's been asking me about more meetings. Why don't we have more meetings out in the area, which we need? Hit that. If there's no other comments, so tentatively, we are scheduled for the 12th of March. We just need a motion to adjourn.
One more thing, just a little plug for Theo. Don't ever forget about Theo.
So, you know, if you listen to Annie, so we're still working with the consultants that we have. There's not really much left to put together, but not just Theo, any of the other little carriers that come through there, too. It's just all got to be done on paper and signed off on, and we're not going to leave anybody out.
Okay, thanks.
Nobody wants to go home?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you.